Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
That's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Monday, October 31st. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air on this Halloween, All Hallows Eve, the day before All Saints Day. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on this last day of the month of October. Wow, has October flown by. Good to be with you once again. I hope you had a really good, blessed weekend. Now, I want to remind you that coming up at the bottom of the hour, Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, the chief exorcist for the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., will join us to discuss the true meaning of Halloween, so stay tuned. And also a quick programming reminder, tomorrow is All Saints Day, and this year we're bringing back a listener favorite. Tuesday, November 1st, join us for great stories about great saints from sunrise to sunset. We're going to devote the entire day to these great men and women who inspire us all to live a life of holiness. From St. Paul and St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta to little-known martyrs you may never have heard of, be prepared to learn about a different saint every half an hour. Here at Relevant Radio, All Saints Day means all saints all day. Great stories about great saints coming up tomorrow, Tuesday, here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. What are a few of the stories making headlines here on this Monday morning, on this Halloween?
Well, John, scary stuff as usual out there, but about 2.5 years ago, with the murder of George Floyd on the streets of Minneapolis, race has really taken center stage in so much of our news coverage across all media around the U.S. and around the world, as a matter of fact. And a race-based admissions case, two of them actually coming before the Supreme Court today. Affirmative action, college admissions being affected by the race of a person applying, being challenged, and those arguments heard in front of the Supreme Court today. No word on which direction that might go yet, as maybe there shouldn't be, but that gets underway today.
Glenn, who is challenging? What universities do you know offhand?
One involves Harvard, another one the University of North Carolina. So we'll see. Interestingly enough, it's designed originally to help minorities. Some minorities do better on the whole than white kids, as a matter of fact. And so that's kind of an interesting twist in the mix as well.
Well, we'll definitely be keeping an eye on that important case. Meanwhile, turning to the NFL, yesterday the Philadelphia Eagles remained undefeated with a 35-13 win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Eagles are now a perfect 7-0. They're the only undefeated team in the NFL, and so the folks in Philly are pretty happy these days, especially with Game 3 of the World Series tonight in Philadelphia. The Phillies and Astros tied at a game apiece. Glenn, did you catch any of the action in the first two games?
Yeah, wild weekend for the World Series there with a big comeback for the Phillies. We caught part of the game, and the Astros seemed to have it in hand, 5-0 Friday, and then came back after an event and found out it was 6-5. So the Phillies have a lot of life, certainly here at the end of the season. But yeah, big times in Philly with the 1972 Dolphins that are still around waiting to host the champagne when the Eagles lose and aren't undefeated anymore, but it hasn't happened yet this season.
The Eagles, with all due respect, have a long way to go to even start thinking about those Dolphins. So it'll be wild and crazy tonight on Halloween night, Game 3 of the World Series. The Philly fanatic, I'm sure, will be doing his thing. And, they're saying it's probably going to be louder there in Philadelphia than it was in Minute Maid Park indoors in Houston.
Well, stay safe, Philadelphia fans. We know it gets wild there from time to time. And you know there are going to be a lot of costumes there And, you know, I mean, but it's not, you know, costumes aren't only at ballparks or even on the streets trick-or-treating. I understand the studio has a few costumes in it this morning as well, Sarah.
Well, there's one in particular. Yeah, I decided to dress up for Halloween today. And believe it or not, I dressed up as a exhausted mom. And I did have to get a little bit more tattered than I normally do because, you know, you try to look nice when you're coming into work. So I had to kind of do the reverse of dolling it up. I dolled it down. And I did scare our engineer a little bit when I walked in. He was a little off-put when he first saw me because I looked a little out of shape.
I was in shock. This is one of those times when I wish we had a video camera so we could see Sarah's complete Halloween outfit. It is quite different.
Well, maybe we'll be able to get a picture to post on Facebook later and Twitter. We'll see. We'll see what we can do.
There you go. All right. Who won the number one costume for this Halloween, according to Google, Glenn?
Witches, they say, number one again this year. Top five include Spider-Man. Always like to see those little spider guys come up to the door. Dinosaur, you know, I kind of try to live that out 365 days a year myself. Stranger Things and a fairy. We've got unseasonably warm weather in Minnesota, so looking for a great night to see plenty of little kids come into the door.
You may see some Spider-Men and some Dinos running around tonight.
Absolutely, absolutely. And your favorite Batman, I'm sure, will be represented as well.
I'm sure, for sure. All right, thanks, as always, Glenn and Sarah. Stay tuned for more. We begin every hour, every morning, always in prayer. First things first, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on Morning Air when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Revelation 7:14. The Apostle St. John writes, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The Apostle St. John reminds us of all the saints who suffered so much for their Catholic faith with many crosses, but they reached the final goal. They reached the finish line and that goal of reaching heaven for all eternity to be with our Lord Jesus Christ, our Blessed Mother Mary, St. Joseph, all the angels and saints that we remember tomorrow on the Solemnity of All Saints Day. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. You can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook, our direct email, morningair@relevantradio.com. And, of course, if you want to be part of the conversation this morning, 888-914-9149 for you early birds, 888-914-9149. Now, it's been said that there is a serious Catholic man crisis in our nation, but would you believe that one in three baptized Catholic men in the U.S. have actually left the Catholic Church? Of these men who remain Catholic, only about one in four Catholic men consider themselves to be practicing Catholics. The Catholic man crisis matters because it hurts men and women, it hurts families, it hurts children, it hurts our parishes, and overall, it hurts society. But when you put together a bunch of Catholic guys to talk about the challenges that men are facing and put Jesus Christ in the center of their lives at a Catholic men's conference, things happen. Men get fired up, they get inspired, renewed, and challenged. Joining us live this morning is Mitch Streitel, the Great Lakes Catholic Men's Conference coordinator, to talk about this Catholic man crisis and how Catholics men conferences are just a fabulous tool to become the men that God have called us all to be. Good morning, Mitch. Welcome to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's really good to be with you.
Thank you so much, John, for having me this morning. Feel blessed to be here.
For sure. Mitch, can you tell us about this worsening man crisis in our Catholic Church and how this man crisis has some definite significant ramifications and long-term consequences for all of us?
Yeah, you know, it's this is a crisis that's kind of been unfolding for many years. And, you know, you gave a few statistics that maybe we can look at as a little bit scary here on this Halloween, you know, but a few more, you know, there's been plenty of research done. And in terms of men's involvement in their faith, in their parish, we know that of those Catholic men that are still Catholic that haven't left the faith, you know, under 50% of them feel that religion is important in their life. So less than 50%. And we also know that 83% of Catholic men rarely or never participate in parish activities outside of Mass. So they may go to Mass, but in terms of their involvement in the parish community outside of that, you know, it's been reducing over the years, and I think we can see it manifesting in many different ways in our church and our faith. I'm in a diocese now that's been talking most recently about doing some restructuring. You know, we've seen vocations that are in a little bit of a crisis in many dioceses across the country, and I think that's just one manifestation of kind of this crisis of men's involvement in their faith, in their parish, and leading their families closer to Christ. You know, we kind of have to double our efforts and, you know, go to work to try and reverse some of this.
Mitch, what is your gut feeling as to the cause of this crisis? If you had to put your finger on it, what do you think is causing this, and what are some of these challenges that Catholic men in this day and age are dealing with?
You know, I think it's certainly something that's been kind of slowly building over decades, and it's... you know, I don't know if I can put one point on it, but I do know. We also know from some research that, you know, 70 to 90%, somewhere in that range, of catechesis, of Bible studies, and other things related to our faith are led by women, and God bless them. You know, in many respects, they're kind of keeping that faith alive for their families and their communities. But it's been a kind of a slow process of men slowly being disengaged from participating in their faith, you know, more and more women having to kind of pick that up in terms of helping lead that catechesis. And so I think just seeing those examples of men involved in their faith, you know, as fewer and fewer do that. And there's so many areas that we can turn our attention to in terms of men. And, you know, every morning I drive home from church, you know, I'm out seeing, you know, all sorts of travel, sports, and other things that have certainly kind of taken precedence. Not that those sports are bad, but, you know, you can just tell they've taken a priority for men and for what they center their family's life around. You know, they've turned to other things. I think that's a big part of the crisis is we've kind of gotten to a moment where we see being involved in our faith and leading different aspects of parish activities, that's really a woman's role. You know, it's not manly to, you know, for your faith to be the center of your life.
Mitch, you know, what you're saying so much resonates with this reporter. I, in the past, you know, I've been in, you know, praying the rosary, and I look around and there might be one guy, and it's like 90% women, and a lot of times it's older women praying the rosary, and I think to myself, you know, we need to somehow bring back the idea that real men can also pray the rosary.
For sure. You know, we, I think, you know, for a lot of men, you know, they want a challenge. They want, you know, they want to live a life, you know, that has some challenges and that they feel that they're inspired. And so I think, you know, we have to kind of reclaim that idea of the faith, of being a person of faith, that's something heroic. You know, we probably spent the you know, this past weekend, you know, watching some sports, and we look to these sports for their, you know, their athletic accomplishments and how that can be heroic. You know, we look to all sorts of other places for heroes. I think we kind of have to get back to the notion that being a person of deep faith, that there's something heroic about that. You know, we're coming up tomorrow on All Saints Day. So many examples of the saints and their deeds and the heroic things they do. And so how can we, you know, take that, that in our day and age and in our time, you know, putting Christ first, putting him at the center of our life, that's something heroic, that's not easy. It's a challenge. But it, you know, it can be done, and it's not just left for women, but it's manly as well.
We're joined this morning by Mitch Streitel, the Great Lakes Catholic Men's Conference coordinator. And Mitch, can you talk about why it's so important for regular laymen to be involved in their faith and the importance of men coming together to support each other in this trying to grow in holiness?
Yeah, so, you know, one thing that we've seen from research that I think can kind of speak to just the importance of men being involved in their faith. We know from several different studies, you know, when a woman converts to Christianity, 17% of the time, the entire family will follow in converting. When men convert, it's 93% of the time that the whole family will convert. So the example of a man being involved in their faith, you know, that's just one little area, you know, for their family. You know, we know also that, you know, if a father takes their faith seriously, is involved and shows that example, that their children are much more likely to keep the faith. And, you know, we have a growing group of people we call nuns, right, that have kind of left faith and don't affiliate with any faith or religion. And so, you know, the importance of men being involved. And I think, you know, I can speak just for myself that seeing the example of other men involved in their faith, that's what lifted my faith up. You know, I was at a moment of crisis myself when I was a freshman in college. And my father kept inviting me to come to a Catholic men's conference. And I kept finding excuses or reasons to kind of push it away. No, you know, it's not for me. You know, I'm a freshman in college. All these things, new experiences are open to me. And it's not something important. And finally, just to kind of get my father off my back, I said, sure, I'll come to a Catholic men's conference. And that first experience of being there and seeing over 1,000 men who were standing up for their faith, who were inspired, who were alive for their faith. And I'll never forget, there was a speaker there who was a former Los Angeles police officer, kickboxing champion. And he was standing up on the stage talking about how Christ was the center of his life, how on fire he was for his faith. It was so inspiring. And that's what led me to be more involved in my faith, for my faith to really come alive. That was the first time I'd really kind of had that experience. And so it's just so important for men to gather with other men. You know, there's a saying that iron sharpens iron. And I think, you know, gathering with other men, that's what it does. You know, it sharpens us, it inspires us, it can help lead us, to Christ.
And Mitch, when you go to a men's conference and there are, you know, literally, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of conferences all over the country, but you go to a men's conference, and I've been blessed to attend and to speak at several of them across our nation. You see hundreds of men waiting in line to go to confession. You hear these powerful talks like you just described. It fires you up. It inspires guys to want to grow in their faith, to live out their faith, to follow Jesus Christ.
Yes, most definitely. It's and this is a movement that's been growing for years. The conference that I helped coordinate, we were the second conference in the country. So when we started, we had our conference, and there was a conference that was happening in Cincinnati, and you fast forward to today, a couple decades later, and there's over 60, probably close to 70 Catholic men's conferences across the country, no doubt in every area of the country. And so no matter where someone's living, they could definitely find a Catholic men's conference. And it's such a great opportunity. You know, it's one day, but it's so inspiring. And what a great way that we can show the importance of our faith, you know, to our children. If you have, a teenage son or, a middle school son, to bring them to the men's conference, right? To show them, you know, hey, I can take a Saturday, and Christ is that important to me that, I'm gonna show up. And so, yes, it's such a great movement, and it's one of those things I think it's slowly helping, hopefully, to turn the tide in terms of getting men involved in their faith and growing in holiness.
And full disclosure, I'll be among the speakers at the 27th annual Great Lakes Catholic Men's Conference coming up this Saturday, November the 19th, here in the month of November, coming up at Northern Illinois University. Should be a fabulous event. I'm really looking forward to seeing all the guys.
Yeah, we're so blessed that you could be a part of our men's conference. And I know there are so many men looking forward to hearing your story. We're just so blessed. Our men's conference now is the longest running one in the nation. So, I just encourage all men out there, to find a Catholic men's conference in their area. There's definitely a movement, a growing of just Catholic men's groups at the parish. You know, I'm involved in one in my parish, have been involved for several years. And so even if you can't make a conference, you know, look for a group or reach out to a couple of your friends. Talk about, starting a men's group at your parish. Just a way to gather and encourage each other, hold each other accountable, and help each other to grow closer to Christ.
Well, Mitch, I really appreciate you joining us here this morning in anticipation of All Saints Day tomorrow. Great reminder for all the men out there, all of our relevant radio listeners. Thanks so much, Mitch. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much, John. God bless.
See you soon. Mitch Streitel, the Great Lakes Catholic Men's Conference coordinator. And we need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. It's Halloween. We're going to talk about the true meaning of All Hallows Eve with Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, the chief exorcist of the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. So stay with us on this Halloween Monday as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
You're a good, good father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm in love by you, it's who I am. It's-
bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air.
When the crypt doors creak and the tombstones quake, happy haunts materialize,
and welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us on this Halloween morning. A number, if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, in the modern world, and especially in English-speaking countries, Halloween has become one of the most important holidays of the year, with millions of children and adults dressing up as their favorite superheroes, ghouls and goblins, witches, Spider-Man, dinosaurs, and many other things. The popularity of Halloween is growing exponentially. Americans spend over $9 billion annually on Halloween. Can you believe it? Making it one of the country's top commercial holidays. While some people have connected Halloween to earlier pagan celebrations of the new year, Halloween, or All Hallows Eve, actually has some significant Catholic roots. Joining us live is a friend of Morning Air and an exorcist, Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, to discuss the true meaning of Halloween. Monsignor Rossetti is a licensed psychologist, a professor, and the author of Diary of an American Exorcist, Demons, Possession, and a Modern-Day Battle Against Ancient Evil. He's also the chaplain of the Washington Nationals in Major League Baseball. Good morning, Monsignor Rossetti. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you once again here on this Halloween.
John, it's my pleasure.
Monsignor, can you talk a little bit about the Catholic roots of Halloween that a lot of folks are a little fuzzy on?
Well, Halloween, the word comes from All Hallows Eve. All Hallows meaning All Saints, the Eve. This is the Eve of the wonderful feast, the holy day, All Saints Day. So it's meant to be something holy and a great celebration of the church.
Why do you suppose that it has become such a secular holiday? So many people have totally forgotten, even Catholic people have forgotten about the Catholic aspect of All Hallows Eve.
Well, John, there's a long also tradition that that evil is somehow rampant on All Hallows Eve. And there's actually a theological reason for that. Satan takes holy things and does what we call a demonic inversion. For example, rather than a mass, he takes a consecrated host and the Satanists, and they desecrate the host in a black mass. Instead of the cross, he'll often burn upside-down crosses, not Peter's cross, but the upside-down cross on people who are possessed. And another demonic inversion is Halloween. Rather than having the All Saints, he mocks this feast with his own sort of celebration of evil. And so when you see all these evil depictions, some people think it's fun, but it's actually part of Satan's inversion, mocking of that which is holy.
And Monsignor Rossetti, one of the biggest questions then for many Catholics and other Christians, for that matter, is should Catholics celebrate Halloween?
Well, here's what we do in our St. Michael Center. We have a holy hour. I've got one tonight. And then we have a social. We have a little fun. You know, we have some wine and cheese and a gathering. But we start with prayer to consecrate and make holy our time. So it's a great grace. And I would say to people, you know, good social things are fine, but don't miss the great graces that God has for us. On these special feasts, we know that God's particularly generous to us and showers his graces upon us.
Is it possible to dress up for Halloween and even dress up in scary stuff and still do it in a Catholic way, with a Catholic spirit?
Well, I think it's important for us to realize the truth behind the realities. You know, people think that witchcraft is fun or interesting, and I'm appalled at what's going on today. And I think witches are fine and demons are fine and all these sorts of things, you know. But actually, as the great mystics have told us, if you realize how ugly the demons were, and Saint Faustina said that just one glimpse of Satan's the truth of who Satan is, you would walk on coals and then suffer every material suffering you could for all of creation, rather than one vision of Satan's ugliness. So we underestimate the ugliness of sin and Satan and evil. And so sort of downplaying it, we should, and also we downplay the glory of God and the beauty of God. So if we were to see those realities, we would be, I think we might change our approach to Halloween.
Monsignor, according to Google, witches are the number one costume once again this year in the list of the most popular ones. From a Catholic perspective, is it sinful, basically, to dress up as a witch or even to dress up as a devil?
Yeah, well, I am, as I said, appalled by what's going on about the whole witchcraft thing. And, you know, we've started, we're trying to reach out to the young in our St. Michael Center. You know, we do exorcism, deliverance prayers, and education around these issues. And we're trying to reach the young. And we realize that many, many, many of the young simply just don't go to church anymore and are not catechized. And so when people stop believing in Christ, they'll believe in anything. So what we did was, we're on Instagram now, TikTok, and that sort of things, and we're trying to evangelize in this social media. And people are reading it. And one of the things I did a segment on witchcraft, and I said basically, I said you need to know that witchcraft and practicing magic witchcraft is a major offense against the First Commandment and a very serious spiritual transgression, which can lead to people being possessed for sure. And I get a lot of pushback from it, from people saying, oh, there's nothing wrong with witchcraft. I don't know what I'm talking about. You know, but the fact is, I do know what I'm talking about because we have seen it. When people practice witchcraft, they open themselves up to all sorts of evil. Now, to get to your question, is it, you know, if I dress up my 8-year-old with as a witch, or my daughter or whatever as a witch, is that a sin? Well, it's not good. Obviously, practicing witchcraft is a sin, but it's not good. You know, I mean, why are we glorifying something sinful? You know, I know one family, which I, a very Catholic family, each child gets to choose a saint and dresses up as a saint. That's nice. You know, glorifying that which should be honored and not glorifying that which shouldn't.
Yeah, that is definitely an alternative. In fact, my own son in the past has dressed up as St. John Bosco. He looked like a bishop. He dressed up as St. Maximilian Kolbe. I think he was St. Longinus when he was real little, you know, at the foot of the cross, dressed up as a Roman centurion. So you can still have fun and dress up as a saint in the spirit of Halloween.
Sure, sure. Well, in the end, to use the word fun, if you want to really know joy and peace, the Lord gives that to us. You're not going to get it from Satan, you know. And what I've noticed is that when people come to us who have been practicing witchcraft for years, you know, there is this darkness around them and this real heaviness and real depressive sort of affect, and they really are clouded in the closer and closer to the evil kingdom. And so we don't want our kids to be like that. We want them to know joy and peace in life, and you'll know that by worshiping and the Lord and doing His will.
All right, Monsignor, I have a real costume for you this morning. Our very own studio producer, Sarah, shocked me this morning. She is dressed as an exhausted housewife, complete with pink rollers in her hair and a cameo robe. She is in the spirit, but in a fun way.
I was trying to scare you, John. I'm glad it worked.
You just frightened
There's
me.
Other ways to scare people. If you don't want to be a witch, you just be a very tired, exhausted mom.
What do you think, Monsignor, is an alternative?
Send me a picture. I'd like to see that. I want to send me a picture.
I think everyone wants to see this picture now. We're really going to have to do it.
This is a sight to be seen for sure. Monsignor, what about Halloween? Because we, you know, we live in the real world. Little kids are going to come and knock on our door asking for candy. Do you think that this is an opportunity to reach out in kindness and generosity and be a good Catholic example to the kids?
Well, if some kids come to my door tonight, I will. I've got some little keto snacks. So rather than filling them with candy bars, you know, give them some healthy. I'm kind of a bit of a healthy guy, so I mean, it's nice to welcome people and be kind to them. So sure, I mean that's a nice thing. My brother used to, when his daughter was very young, his nickname for her was Pumpkin. So he'd call her a little pumpkin. So on Halloween, he'd dress her up like a pumpkin. She was so cute.
Oh, wow.
I remember that with joy.
That is funny. I think my 15-year-old is dressing up as a baseball player. So, and you could relate to that, being the chaplain for the Washington Nationals. He's a ball player in full costume with the black under the eyes. And, you know, he'll have a little fun, probably for the last time. He thinks he's getting too old.
Okay, did he pick a particular player or just a general?
He's going to dress up as his travel team uniform. So he will not be a big league ball player.
Okay.
He will be a youth player. But anyway, it's all in fun. You know, on a more serious note, there's a very prominent Protestant minister who recently said that Halloween has become a night when the devil rejoices. Why do some Protestant ministers and evangelicals have this view of Halloween?
Well, I actually agree with that. I think that there's a tradition where we believe that evil is particularly rampant, and I think that's true. For example, our possessed people that were praying or whatever, they struggle mightily on Halloween, and lots of the gifted people say that Satan's particularly powerful on Halloween. So, yeah. There is a strong tradition of that.
Want to invite our listeners, before we go to break, if you have a question about the true meaning of Halloween, perhaps you might want to share how you've experienced Halloween in your own families. We're taking your calls from Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, licensed psychologist and the author of Diary of an American Exorcist, at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short time out as we continue our discussion with Monsignor Rossetti. Stay with us. There's much more to come on the other side.
This is Morning Air, your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
This is Halloween.
And welcome back to Morning Air on this Halloween. We're talking about the true meaning of Halloween from a Catholic perspective on this day before All Saints Day, the vigil of All Saints Day, with Monsignor Stephen Rossetti. Monsignor, before the break, you started to talk to us about how, in many ways, the devil actually rejoices the night before All Saints Day. If you can just sort of share with us a little bit more on that reality that we're seeing more and more.
Sure. Actually, there's a long tradition of that. For example, the jack-o'-lantern, you take a pumpkin, right, or way back when, large beets, and carve a scary face in it. Now, that's a pagan thing, but the idea was that you scare away the evil demons on Halloween. So there was a long tradition of Satan and evil having a particular sway on the eve of All Saints. And so you were trying to protect yourself. Now, we obviously don't protect ourselves that way. We use the holy things from the church and from God. For example, there is this pagan Irish holiday, Samhain, you know, a pagan holiday, which is also on Halloween. And witches' covens, even tonight will gather in large numbers and cast their spells and curses and that sort of thing. So yeah, I mean, the evil is out in force, which is why, of course, we hold up the shield of Christ and pray.
Joyce is joining us this morning from Tamaka, Pennsylvania. Good morning, Joyce. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Monsignor Rossetti.
Good morning, and thank you both. I just wanted to make a comment. My friend had carved a pumpkin and put a picture of Jesus over it, and it looks beautiful. It does honor him with the candle in it. I don't hear anything from the pulpit, though, to tell us how to turn secular things into holy things, or to encourage us to somehow, to live our life rather than a secular way.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. It's great that you share that with us. I never heard of that. That's a great idea. So I think there are many pious lay people who are doing good things on Halloween. And so I'd say sharing that with others, whether through emails or whatever, and getting the word out on creative things to do. That's nice.
Appreciate it. Joyce, thanks so much for calling this morning. We go to Phoenix, Arizona. Linda is with us. Linda, welcome to Morning Air.
Yes, thank you for your offer. And I wanted to let you know that as an old nurse, that the fentanyl pill is being colored. And so that fake pill that's out there in our world today and can do such damage, please warn people. Thank you.
That is such a good point. Monsignor, your thoughts?
Well, you read in the paper all the time about young people dying by taking these pills, and it's heartbreaking. It gets back to the basic thing. Stay away from illicit drugs of any sort, and be careful, and only take that which is prescribed by our medical professionals. When you wander into an area like that, bad things can happen. So yeah, it's a good caution.
And Monsignor, from what I understand, I mean, this stuff is so dangerous, fentanyl. I mean, just one teeny tiny little bit laced in what someone might think is candy can absolutely kill you. And unfortunately, there's been an epidemic of that stuff coming over the border here in the last few years. And so especially on a night like tonight, I think parents need to be paying attention to the candy that comes in. If anything looks suspicious, by no means do not give it to your kids.
Well, many parents will make sure the kids only go to houses with people they know. Which is a good idea. I think the notion of just banging on anyone's door, you just don't know what's going to happen these days. It's not like it used to be when I was growing up. So I think parents more closely monitoring what their kids do is sadly necessary today.
The true meaning of Halloween for someone who's just joining us who may not have heard the beginning of our conversation, we're trying to remind the folks that it has Catholic roots and it's really connected to tomorrow's solemnity.
Yes, it's the great grace, as I said, the Lord shines upon us more brightly, if you will, in these great feasts. And the saints intercede for us. We found recently in one of our cases, an exorcism, the one of the exorcists was going through the rite, and he found that the litany of the saints, with the litany of the saints, it was so powerful that he actually stayed with the litany of the saints for an hour, and after he mentioned the saint's name, we have many relics, first class relics, he would place a relic on the afflicted person. And by the end of that, we had a three-day exorcism. The person was freed. So the power of the saints and their intercession for us is something to rejoice in on this feast.
Monsignor, can you remind our listeners in no uncertain terms how the Catholic Church and Scripture clearly condemns witchcraft, witches, and sorcery?
Well, as I told you earlier, I get so much pushback these days where people say, well, there's nothing wrong with witchcraft. What's the problem? Well, first of all, the Bible is very clear about it, by the way, that it's an abomination. The Bible says it just point blank in more than one place. Number two, the Catechism of the Church is very clear about it. And number three, just think about it. You know, witches don't invoke God. They're not invoking the God. No, they're invoking some of these nameless spiritual energies. You know, that someone called it like the witch inside of us, which is nonsense, or some ancient magical power in the universe, whatever. But in reality, what are you really calling upon? What are you really connected to? Well, if it ain't God, you know, it's likely to be Satan. And so that's the problem. You might not think you are. You might not intend it. But the reality is that, you know, you inviting Satan into your life. And recently, by the way, and one young woman responded to our TikTok post, and she said, "Well, she said I'm a practicing witch." She said, "And I control the demons. I control the demons I use." And I'm going, "What? What? What made you think that? I mean, so she knows she's invoking demons, but she thinks she's controlling them. The reality is they're manipulating her."
Well, we're invoking the Lord here on Morning Air this morning, and we're talking about Halloween from a Catholic perspective. Chris is joining us from Orlando, Florida. Good morning, Chris. Welcome.
Good morning. Good morning, Monsignor. So two comments. First one being, particularly with everything happening, offering one's mass and particularly reception of the Eucharist in reparation of all this evil that's going on, particularly today. And then the other thought also was, what would be the appropriateness of, maybe aside from handing out candy, maybe Catholic medals and prayer cards per se. So.
Right. Well, the only reservation I have about the Catholic prayer cards and medals is that if they're not religious people, they're likely to throw them on the ground. You know, so it's a nice thought, but I think I would give those to the young people who would use them properly. You know, I mean, but certainly, you know, offering your mass would be a wonderful thing.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. Monsignor, as we're talking about different ways in which evil could come into our lives here on this day before All Saints Day, on All Hallows Eve, Halloween, can you briefly talk about Ouija boards, which is something that also comes up in other practices similar to that, how that stuff is just not okay?
Oh, no, it's terrible. I mean, a Ouija board, by any, it's a form of divination, what we call divination. You're trying to invoke some sort by divining, you know, in an occult way. The famous movie of the 70s, The Exorcist, it's based on a real case of a young 13-year-old boy who used a Ouija board for 6 months, and he got possessed. Now, thank God, through the intercession of the church and St. Michael, and Jesus, of course, he was liberated, but he got possessed using Ouija board. Don't underestimate it. You keep doing it. You keep doing divination, whether it's magic, witchcraft, Ouija boards, whatever, you're going to have a problem.
Final minute, your thoughts here in anticipation of tomorrow's solemnity of All Saints Day.
Well, we're excited about it. I mean, again, Jesus is Lord, not Satan. And even though Satan's pretty rampant on Halloween, Jesus is Lord. We're excited that he will triumph once again, and that he will shower his graces upon us. And we look forward to joining the company of the saints one day, please God.
I like to call the saints the Hall of Famers of our Catholic faith. That's something you can relate to as a baseball chaplain.
Sure, that's a wonderful way. And we all have our favorite saints, you know, so I'm looking forward, God willing, to being with them.
Thanks so much, Monsignor Rossetti. So much appreciate you joining us this morning.
It's a pleasure, and God bless your very important and wonderful ministry.
Thank you. Many blessings to you as well. Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, licensed psychologist and an exorcist and the chaplain of the Washington Nationals. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called The Christian Pumpkin. A 10-year-old little girl was asked by another classmate, "What's it like to be a Christian?" The girl replied, "It's like being a pumpkin. God picks you from the patch. He brings you in, washes all the dirt off of you. Then he cuts open the top and scoops out all the yucky stuff. He removes the seeds of doubt, hate, greed, and more. And then he carves you a new smiling face and puts his light inside of you to shine for all the world to see. From 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new."
Fabulous story corner, Glenn, once again, perfect for this Halloween. Now, coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Alfonso Aguilar, the president of the Latino Partnership for Conservative Principles, will give us his take on the importance of the Latino vote with 8 days to go before the midterms. And you'll meet David and Pamela Niles, co-authors of Living Beyond Sunday, Making Your Home a Holy Place, and they'll explain how to raise a family full of saints. So stay with us. There's much more to come in the final hour of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.